Lecture 8, who's in charge of my inner genius? My inner genius blends me one as all, using self-discipline that always functions. My calm nature proclaims outwardly who I am within. I live what I am, disciplined. It is easy for me to follow my program. My inner genius blends me one with all, using self-discipline that always functions. Now think of that. If you will want to drive a car, you discipline yourself to taking the lessons to learning how to drive. If you want to read a book, you discipline yourself to the idea that it may take a little while. You read the book chapter by chapter, verse by verse, portion by portion, and it's very good. So if you want to do any magic in your life, if you want to bring about any great good and great wonder in your life, you can do it very simply by just putting the cause in motion to bring that into your life in a wonderful way. And it's up to you whether you want to do that. It's up to you whether you really want to accomplish it. So many of us want to accomplish things, and we say we want to do that, and we're not willing to give what it takes to do it. We want to, well, like a child learning to walk, it takes a while to crawl and then to walk, and we know that, and we work with the child, and we discipline ourselves to let the child learn. Now, can you discipline yourself to let yourself learn, let yourself become aware? Actually, we know that there's no learning going on anywhere. We do not learn to read. We do not learn to write. We do not learn to be magic. We just practice it in our inner beingness. We already know it, and then we become aware, and we have the moments of, ah, so, oh, ha, yes, I understand. And when we come to that moment, then we understand. And we can go as long as we want, study as long as we want, and we will never understand anything. Now you say, boy, are you talking about a lot of nonsense there? Are you talking about a lot of nothing? I have no idea where you're going. And that's what I intended to say. We have the attitude that what we want is instant awareness. Instant awareness of whatever we do. And if we will work on instant awareness on the little things, we will experience them on what we call the big things. I say to you, what is your book of knowledge? What is your book of reference for life? Is the Bible your book of reference? Is the textbooks your book of reference? Is a teacher your book of reference? What is your book of reference? And your book of reference is one book, and that is your own inner self. Your inner self. All of us have the greatest book of reference in the world inside of ourselves. And we don't go there. We don't go there because we're looking for instant gratification. We go to Star Trek and we see the movie on TV and we see it on the serial and we see them doing wonderful things. And what amuses us most and delights us most is when we go into the education room. We go into the education room of Star Trek and we take a headphone and we put it on our head and we press a button. We want to be fluent in French. Duck! We're fluent in French. Duck! Like that. Just duck right that. You know everything about French. You can speak perfect French as you wish. You can understand perfect French. You can be marvelous. And then you say, okay, I want German, Italian, I want English. I want any of these things. And instantly, you got it. And you like being instantly learned. You like being instantly taught. And then a young student goes in there, 15 years old, and the student says, okay, I want to know everything. I want to be instantly learned in geography and in science and education. I want to know everything all the time and know it right now. And as I know it, I want to express it and I want to live it. I want to be it. I want to just be fantastic in it. And so you take the headphone, put it on, and instantly you have that fantastic quality about yourself. Instantly, you know all things. Well, now, this is great. This is really great. And this is what makes you very, very happy. Wow, I know it all. Where'd you get it? Is that a fantasy? Is that a fantasy that you put the headphones on and instantly you are aware, you are illuminated, you are aware of the fact of whatever you want to know, French, Italian, science, geography, world history, whatever you want to know, instantly you know it? Well, the truth is, you do already know it. You do already know these things. Now, I'm going to say to you, all right, all of us, right now, all of us, we're going to take a trip. We're going to go to the Himalayan mountains. We like that. That's always fun. We're going to go to the Himalayan mountains. We're going to go and visit Swami Rama's master. And we're going to go up on the mountainside, and there he is in a cave. This master of Swami Rama. And this master knows everything. And he has a bunch of chelas around him, students who he teaches all the things that he knows. And little by little, he imparts in them all the knowledge he knows. Now, how does he do it? Does he tell them the facts? Do they write down the facts and put it down in their books? Or do they have any books at all? Do they have any pencil and paper? Do they have any way to write down? They don't write anything down. The chelas with the master write nothing down. Remember that. All he does is illumine in their consciousness the fact that they already know everything he is sharing with them at that moment. He is giving them an inspirational shot, an inspirational jog in their awareness that tells them they know everything right now. And they do. They do. Now, there are some in the class, as there are in all classes, who feel they know it all, who feel that this is too slow a road, which is not slow at all, and they want to make it go faster. So they go out and they try to make it go faster. They go out and try to take the training that they have gotten and utilize it and share it and show it off. And in the process of doing this, they are turning off their awareness of the inner, and they're just taking the outer that they experienced and sharing that, and they think that they're so wonderfully intelligent. We do that. We do that. I tell each one of you that if you can learn to meditate, if you can learn to go within, and meditation's not what we are constantly thinking it is. Meditation is not thinking within. It is thinking and it is within, but it's not that. Meditation, in truth, is one word. And it's a simple word. It's a good word. Meditation is illumination. You are illumined. You are aware. You are alert. You are conscious of all knowledge. You are the allness that you are, but you're conscious of all knowledge in every way that you want to be. Now, that's dynamite. That's dangerous stuff to fool around with, to be conscious of all. Because the trouble we do, we try to be conscious of all relative to other people in our world. And that gets us into trouble. That gets us into the witches and the warlocks and into the magicians and into the power people of the world. And when we fool around with the power people of the world, the witches and the people who are attempting to do things to control others, we get in trouble. Now, all of you have in your life experienced being a witch. Twinkling your nose and having something happen. You didn't realize you were doing, you were not consciously using the talent to accomplish what you wanted. You were accomplishing it because you wanted to accomplish it, and therefore it happened. Accomplishing things in our life, accomplishing awareness of allness in our life, without wisdom, is very dangerous. They say a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Let me repeat that. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. If it is said a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, imagine what a lot of knowledge would be. Just imagine what knowing all things would be if you were not prepared to know all things and utilize it in your life. You say, oh, I want to know all things. I want to be all-knowing. I want to be the is. I want to be the all. You don't really. You want to be who you are. You want to be who and what you are, and who and what you are is rather remarkable. But you say to yourself, I want to know all things. Are you ready to know all things?
Yes.
You say yes, huh? Yes. Einstein would like to have known all things. And Einstein went out and brought out these theories when he was 25 years old, 24 years old. He was doing these wonderful theories, which today boggle mind the scientific community, because they cannot understand how he could come forth with that wisdom. He came forth with that wisdom out of his innocence. He was an innocent scientific genius. And he had nothing that told him it couldn't be done. He only knew if he thought it, it could be done. He only knew that if he conceived it, it had the possibility of being a reality in his world. Now, that's quite a brilliant comprehension. That's a brilliant realization. That's a brilliant illumination. Now, are you ready for such an illumination for yourself? And of course you'd like to say yes, and I'd like to say yes with you and for you, but are you ready for such an illumination? And the answer is no, you're not. And the only reason you're not is that you find it boring to listen to the divine within yourself. You find it boring to go to God within yourself and be aware of God within. Go to the Father within who seeth in secret, and the Father will reward thee openly. The words of Jesus. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? That means all knowledge already is within you. You just go there and it's revealed to you, and it'll be revealed to you openly. But you have to make the trip. You have to go within. You got to get on your traveling clothes, and you got to get on the airplane, you got to go here. No, no, no. How do you go within? In silence. In peace. Now, Swami Rama's master, and the masters of Swami Rama's master, and other Hindu masters, and masters throughout the world, not just in India. You have a lot of masters here in Nigeria that you're not aware of. And you're not aware of them because you're not in their class. You're not in their receptivity circle. When you are so innocent and so ready and receptive to know the truth, then the teacher is there. The student is ready. The teacher appears. Now, the teacher is not always an outer being. The teacher could very well be your inner awareness, your inner illumination. And when your inner illumination sparkles you and says, yes, this is it, and you say, oh boy, I wish that's too good to be true, and it shuts right off. It shuts right off. When you don't believe, and by believing I don't mean believe in something that is hard to understand, but when you do not perceive, understand, if you don't, you cannot say, I understand that works, how that works, I can see that, how that works. If you cannot say that, then it doesn't happen for you. When you can say, not I believe, I believe, I believe, that's a good thing too, but if that is not your nature to truly believe in your inner self, if your nature is not to stop and listen, stop, look, and listen, listen to the divine within yourself and let the divine reveal itself to you, then the divine just stays sort of silently unavailable to you, silently unaware to you. You say, Herb, you're tickling us a lot here, but you're not giving us the key so that we could make this inner trip with our meditation. Not yet. That's coming. That's coming. Now, I'm not putting great stress on the Hindu master India sort of thing, but I'm putting great stress on somebody who is receptive to learn. And not to learn, but to be aware. And not to be aware, but to be illumined. Someone receptive to be illumined and say, aha. When we are receptive to be illumined, we don't fall asleep in meditation. We don't wake up in meditation. We are just sort of inquisitive, alive, alert, enthusiastic about everything we're doing. And we say, wow, wow, how great that is. Now, how great is that? How great is that? Where do we make the step to have that illumination be our illumination? Where do we make the step to have that illumination be our illumination? Now, you think that those guys have the edge in India because they go to that cave and they sit in that cave in their loincloth and they are cross-legged and they are alert and listening to their teacher and so forth. That's tough. Did you ever, and you, I don't think any of you did you ever sit in a cold room, and I mean a cold room, almost freezing, with no clothes on? You're sitting in this cold room and you're learning to meditate. Because winter, summer, spring, or fall, the teacher brought forth his lessons for all, and he shared it with his students. And he gave it to his students whenever and however they are. Now, why did they just wear a loincloth? Why is it that in some monasteries they shave your heads? Why is it women entering the convent of the Catholic Church shave their heads? They say it's because they want to get rid of the adornment so that you're not paying attention to the outer appearance. You're not paying attention to the outer being. You're going to the inner man. Well, that's okay. But it doesn't matter whether you have your tuxedo, your nice clothing, your beautiful dress, or whatever you got on. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that you choose to listen within. Okay? When you choose to listen within, then, we said before, when the student is ready, the teacher is there. Now, the teacher is not Swami Rama's master. He is a way shower, much like Jesus, but he's not a teacher. You are the teacher yourself. You move in to your inner understanding. You move into your inner illumination. And then, your ideas flow to you, your concepts flow to you. You feel an awareness of the allness of the universe. You feel aware of the intelligence of the universe. You're into all the knowledge and all the inspiration and all the intuitive bits that's there. Interesting, isn't it? You're ready to make that journey into the fantasy land of reality. The fantasy land of reality. Why do we call it the fantasy land? We call it the fantasy land because it seems hard to realize that those truths are so. Okay, let's take a truth that we've been given. As a man, woman, child, dog, cat, creature, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What strange, stupid, fantastical fantasy words those are. Well, you know, how can they be true? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is. Well, I'm thinking I'd like to be a millionaire. Ha, ha, ha. I'm thinking I'd like to be healthy. Ha, ha. I'm thinking I'd like to have friends. Ha, ha. I'd like to have my ideal wife, my ideal husband. I'd like to have my ideal world. I'd like to have all the ideal things. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. What does that mean? It's a joke. Because we are not thinking that. We are thinking we don't have those things. That's what we're thinking. We're not thinking we'd like to have. We're not thinking that we do have. We're thinking we don't have. And what's going to happen? We just will have more of the same, not having it. You say, well, God Almighty, Herb, where do we get on the boat? Where do we get started on this? How can we get going on this? How can we start claiming these truths for ourselves? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Here comes the test that puts you to whether you're successful or not. If you really and sincerely, and I don't mean believe, I believe, but really and sincerely know that this is you, I know this principle given by a spiritual master works. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I know that the great philosophers have said that. And what else have they said? Man, know thyself. Man, know thyself. When I know myself, when you know yourself, then you are aware of your ultimate beingness. You are aware of the divinity that is so magnificent and so precious and so outstanding. You stop thinking, believing, you stop thinking that you don't have it. You start thinking it is yours. You do have it. I know that I know that I know the divine in me is the answer. I know that I know that I know I am the infinite allness. I know that I know that I know I am God. Yeah. I know that I know that I know when I speak my word, the earth not only trembles, but all manifests according to my spoken word for myself and my world. Now, I will tell you this. You don't have to pay attention to me if you wish, but I will tell you this. The teachers in the Himalayas, Swami Rama's master and all the others, I've met them. are super great people, but they give their students, as I'm sharing with you right now, they give their students the simple, basic understanding, trying to make it comprehensible to them, and the students who carry it forth and act upon it get it. Now, what do the students do after they've had a session? You'd call it a lesson. But after they have a session with the master, what do? They go out and play football, don't they? They go out and play volleyball. They go out and run around. They go out and do everything to get their mind off the subject, which is too heavy for them. They go out and play, don't they?
They do not. They do not.
They sit and meditate, alert, awake, aware. No master clunks them on the head, say, you're falling asleep. They sit alert, awake, and aware, and train themselves to listen within and believe everything that their within reveals to them. And each one has it quite different, of course, because each one comes from a different background of training and understanding, even though they're all Hindus and they're all whatever. But each one comes from a different mother and daddy, you know. Now, after they've had their session, instead of having a discussion period like we do, they have a period of introspection, of inner illumination. The master is quiet. We would use the word shuts up, but that's not the case. The master is quiet. And then the chela, the student, the chela could be 3 years old, 100 years old, makes no difference. The chela then turns to the master within, to the spiritual master beingness that they are within, listens and lets it come. Now, it doesn't mean you got to sit around in meditation all day long. It means you have to sit around in meditation day and night. It means you're always in a state of meditation. You're walking, you're eating, you're talking, you're going to the bathroom, you're doing anything, and you're in a state of meditation. People have illumination in the strangest places and at the strangest times. People have an understanding and awareness when they least expect it. And you have that understanding and awareness when you least expect it. Now, you each have made an effort to be here at this seminar. You each have made an effort to be here and understand what is being offered to you. And when people stay away, blocks leave our group. When people come, eagerness joins our group. Every person who wants to be here is here because they're ready to be aware of themselves, their own divinity, their own magnificence, their own spiritual reality, a fantastic quality of them, not anybody else. We're not here to ask questions about the devil. We're not here to ask questions about evil. We're not here to ask questions about why life is terrible. Why? Thoughts are
things.
And if you're going to think about that sort of thing, do you think that's going to open the doorway for you to be aware of your allness, your isness, your divine? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, what is your priority? What is your priority? Now, why are just you here and a few others not here at the moment? Because you are so intensely ready and aware to walk that doorway of your inner beingness, your inner illumination, that's why you're here. That's why you attended this seminar. You didn't attend this seminar to earn degrees and to become aware of intelligence and so forth. You attended the seminar to become aware of illumination. Illumined understanding of yourself as the allness, the isness, the oneness. That's what you are. And age makes no difference. Swami Rama had, his master had people of all ages. Swami Rama was given to the master before birth. And he came to the master as a young child. And his master trained him and raised him. And you were given to me at a point in your life that you're ready to have me tell you, hey, listen within. I'm not your master. You're not my chela. You're not my student. I'm not your trainer. I'm not your teacher. I would like to think, your inspiration. I'm the one who says to you, open the door of your heart and listen and let it come through now. Let it come through this instant, this very instant. There is no other time. There is no other time but now, right now, this second. And whoever is here now, this second, is now illumined forevermore. I say that.
Done.
I mean that.
Yeah.
It's done. Ha ha! Smarty, farty, smarties. See? You are aware so quick. Okay, it's done. Now, what's the next step? The next step is for you to live what you know. Live the divine quality that you are. Live the divine reality that you are. You have been given a gift from your divine inner self that is so glorious and so wonderful, so profound, so everlasting, so eternal. You've been given this gift. And this gift, it's given to you by yourself to be aware of the allness. There is no limitation. There's no experience in your life that tells you you cannot do something. Every experience in your life tells you you not only can do it, but
right. It
is done. The experiences in your life tell you it is done now. Okay. What do the chelas do after the teacher trains them in something? Don't all shout at once. They meditate on it. They meditate on it. They go to their inner teacher after their outer guide took them to the inner path. They go to their inner teacher and they listen from the inner teacher to be aware of all the good that is coming out of it. And you're not remembering that. Maybe you're remembering it and not saying it, but you're not apparently remembering it by not saying it. When I say anything to you, you are wise if you reiterate whatever is your thought about it. It may not be mine, but whatever your thought is about, and that makes it indelibly pressed into your awareness, your consciousness, your mind, your being, and done. Okay. So Peter goes home. And Peter has a bunch of kids at home and a bunch not at home, and he has a family with a bunch of kids, and all kids. And he goes into the house, and the house is a bedlam. And he said, it is done unto me according to my thought. I see my family peace. And instantly his family is peace. And then he says, I am the guru. I am the teacher. I am the sharer with my family. They chose to be in my family because they wanted my wisdom. They wanted me to guide them to their spiritual path. And while I'm guiding them to their spiritual path, I'm walking to my spiritual path. So as he walks into his home, and he blesses his home, and he blesses his family, and he blesses all the friends that his family have brought in, and he speaks to them as a guru, as a master, and as he speaks to them, they immediately, instantaneously, totally accept him in the role he sees himself playing. It's done according to him, according to his thought. As the master thinks in his heart, so is he. As anyone thinks in your heart. As you think in your heart, so are you. So, does he want to do that?
Yes.
No. No, he doesn't want to do that. You know why? And I'm telling you true. He does not want to do that because he has not done that up to now. He has gone into his house and found it bedlam, and instead of saying, oh my God, instead of saying, all is in divine order. Instantly. You see, to be a master, to be one who has meditated and found their center, as the term goes often, it's unimportant. There's no center. It's the all. We are not playing for the middle. We are playing for the all. Okay? Okay, now. But, and what's he doing? He is making his children of all ages getting married and leaving the house and going off and having their own programs and stuff like that. If he were truly the Chila student-master relationship that he is, his children would never leave home. His children would gather around their guru father and listen to him and learn from him and study from him. But he doesn't want to be a master for anybody else, even his children. He wants to only be a master for himself. And the reason I say that is because that's who you are. You are an independent character that wants to walk your own way and do your own thing and do it brilliantly and beautifully, and that's good. Now, you created your family to have them have a touch of genius in their worlds, and they're doing very well, right? No? Right? Yes? Right?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
God, thank you. I heard that. Speak it loud so I can hear it.
Yes.
Wonderful. But do you understand me? I ask you a question. Shout it out and let me know. Maybe, sort of. Yes. That's what you said. And that's great. Now, do I believe him?
Yes.
Yes. Do I? He believes himself. So I believe him. He knows his own life, his own world, his own family, his own circumstances. And if he says yes, I believe it. If he says, I have no idea, I think to myself, take another profession. Go off into some other activity. But when he says yes, he's in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Now, all of you are using your intelligence wisely and well, and you're having a great time, and you're having great experiences. Now, what do you do when the session or the lesson stops? Anybody?
You meditate on it.
You go to silence and meditate.
You go to Thailand and meditate?
Yeah.
You go into introspection.
You go in yourself.
Yes, and meditate.
Yeah, you see, if you go into the Himalayas or Thailand or wherever you wanted to go, you're not really going inner. All this going to masters around the world accomplishes you nothing if you don't learn what they have to say. And what does the master have to say? What does he have to say?
I like me.
That's right. He says, I like me. He says, go within and like yourself. Go within and like yourself and put it to work. Put it to work. Put it to work. Go within and like yourself and put it to work. Where? Where?
Within
to your meditative center. Now, the word center. Go within to your meditation where you meditate. And when you go within to your meditation place, what happens? All is revealed. All is revealed. That's pretty nice, isn't it? All is revealed. Not you're going to learn some more, not you're going to have some more arduous introspection times where you're saying, oh, well, what am I supposed to get out of this? Well, how is it supposed to work? How is anything supposed to happen? You see, all of that sort of anxiety is lost. And what is there? Mary, what is there? Mary, what is there?
Peace.
Say it loud.
Peace.
Wonderful. You do have a good voice. When your children are running around the yard doing something that you want to get their attention, you say, peace, come in here. And peace comes in there and all the rest of the children follow her. Yes. We speak firmly, strongly, not with anxiety, not with anger, not with any threatening thing about it, just with conviction. We say, peace. Now, why is it that we have peace? We have peace because that is what we brought forth. Now, you say, and you say this to me in many words and few words and in every way, you say to me, peace is easy. You just take a couple of deep breaths and let them out, and you feel good. No, that's just the beginning of peace. That's just preparing yourself for the wonderful gift that peace brings. Because peace means you let all outward things go. You let all outward conditions have no effect on you. You are untouched by the world about you. She is untouched by the children playing in the yard, getting themselves all messed up and dirty. She'd like to let the children play in the yard naked where they can do get as dirty as they want to get, and then when they come in, she takes a bucket and splashes them and makes them all clean again, instead of having to have them wear clothing out there and get all dirty and be concerned. So when they're playing in the yard naked, she's not paying any attention to them because she knows they're having fun and they can't get undirty or dirty. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All she does is see them doing what makes them happy. And if she's worried about them getting their clothing dirty, take them off. But what happens when she makes the next step? When she makes the next step, she's a mother, and so she has children, and these children are ready, or she is ready, actually. They're ready to have this new experience. And the new experience is an experience that says, all is in divine order. So she turns to her children and she says to them in her heart, all is in divine order. She blesses them and she sees them doing everything in right order, putting all of their toys away, putting all their things away, being clean as a whistle, having fun and not getting dirty, doing all the things that she as a mother would delight in their doing, because she has thought this over the years, and she's thought this time and time again. All is in divine order. Now, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yes.
And it is what she has chosen to do. But first, what did you do? First, what did you do? I became peaceful. Right? No? Yes?
Yes.
First, you calmed, you made peace with yourself. And when you make peace with yourself first, then you can do anything. But when you are filled with anxiety and misunderstanding what's going on, when you're all upset with everything, then what happens to you? Then everything is out of order.
Yes.
Then everything is crazy. You're not in charge. You're not in control of your life. You're not in control. But when you are peace, then everything is ideal and perfect and wonderful. When you are peace, then you have brought those things into being and they're done for you now. They're fulfilled for you now and they're wonderful. Sir, come here. Come here. You are a very blessed person. You are very worthwhile. You are as important here as any other member of this group. You are paying the same fee for the seminar that they're paying. You have everything that they are doing. You are as important as anybody else in this world. You are fantastic. And when you choose a place to sit down, you're going to stay in that place, if you wish, because it is yours. If it is left empty and you choose to take it, it's yours. You are just as important as anybody else in this entire seminar. Yes. Because you're magnificent, and I love you.
Thank you.
It's true. It's true. If people don't come here at the right time for the seminar to start and other people want to take their places, they take them. You don't have a right to any of this place. You have a right to it if you come and get it before somebody else does, because they're all there. They don't belong to anybody. I'm saying this not because I want him to get a big head, which he doesn't do. I'm saying this because he has the innocence and the humility that we would all love to have. You understand? He has the innocence and humility that we would all love to have. So let's begin expressing that in our lives now, learning from the examples we see other people doing. Okay? Now, let's remember that. And let's remember that very well. Okay. Now, we will take our pause, and we'll come back at 3 o'clock, and at that time we will have our discussion of the things we had done up to this point. And if you will take a few moments and write down any questions you have or any ideas you have that you have gleaned from what we've done so far, then tell us and share it with the others if you like, because it's in sharing. That's why people meet in groups. They want to share with others their illumination, their inspiration, their awareness, and their joy. So if you have any comments, write them down, and let's take it from there. Know without limitation, unconditionally, I love each one of you, but I'm also going to do something very cruel and mean to each one of you. I am going to expect the best out of each one of you, regardless of any experience you ever had in your life, any stupidness you ever had in your life. You're going to let that go and be in the past. And the right now is where we're living and where we're acting and where we're being. And right now is what we're doing. There is no past. There is only the now. So take your pause and come back in 10 minutes. I love you.
Love you.